This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, January 4th, 2023, Requiem Mass for Pope Benedict XVI, by Father William Doc Holliday.
He that believeth me, although he be dead, shall live. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It does my heart very well to see so many people here on a Wednesday night for this Mass. This is different for us than it is anywhere else. I mean that in all sincerity. It's different for us because we exist because of Pope Benedict XVI, the Ordinariate, the Chair of St. Peter, all the Ordinariates throughout the world. There had been efforts to bring about something like that for a long time before it actually happened. And Pope John Paul II, I've heard it put this way. John Paul II had sympathies for Anglicans who wanted to become Catholics, but Cardinal Ratzinger at the time, he appreciated us theologically. He knew theologically where Anglicans were. He worked these things out because he was brilliant like that. He's not only near and dear to us as the Ordinariate, he is near and dear to me personally. I, on my circuitous route back from leaving for a long time the church and then coming back, a lot of the things that I read that really put my head right were written by Joseph Ratzinger. There are a lot of men who have said publicly that he is the reason that they are Catholic today. Scott Hahn is one of them. There are a lot of men, and I'm sure a lot of women, that can ground their faith on things that they've read, if they took their faith seriously and studied it, that they received from Cardinal Ratzinger. But on an even more personal level, as things were going on, I submitted my dossier to Rome to become a priest in the Catholic Church. I didn't hear anything for months and months and months and months and months. So we start to get disheartened. And then I get an email. You get an email that says, the CDF, Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, has unanimously accepted your dossier for the priesthood. It will go to the Pope's desk, and it gave a specific time and date. When you read that, not only is it exciting to finally hear something, but it's was for me intimidating to think that the Pope didn't have anything better to do than to read my dossier at a certain time on a certain day, but even more so to think that it was Pope Benedict XVI. And to know that there is a form in the Ordinariate office that has my name and his signature on it is something that I will relish for my entire life. This is why this day is so special for the Ordinariate, but for me also. It would not exist. I would not be a priest if it wasn't for him, personally, if it wasn't for him. This is because of who he was. Most of us understand, we really started paying attention probably to Pope Benedict XVI when he abdicated the papacy. For him to do such a thing was a martyrdom. There are a lot of questions around that whole thing, but I don't even want to go there. It was undoubtedly a martyrdom for him. But a lot of these things am I going to say are for his words, not mine. He speaks of martyrdom, of which, like I said, his resignation was one. He says in his readings in the liturgy that martyrdom is a way in which the Christian can become a Eucharist. What? a Christian can become a, notice he doesn't say the Christian can become the Eucharist. He said that he can become a Eucharist. Eucharist is Thanksgiving. Eucharist is the manifestation of the pattern of Jesus Christ in the life of any Christian. And to get as close as you possibly can to Jesus Christ in this world, you endure martyrdom, whether that be physical or spiritual and or spiritual. That's St. Paul thing. That's to whom Pope Benedict XVI points. He says St. Paul, when he writes to the Philippians, he says that he is going to be poured out as a libation, a drink offering, an offering that's poured out on the altar to God. That's what St. Paul speaks about himself, and that's what Benedict XVI says that we should try our best to emulate in this world, to be martyred, to become a Eucharist, to give God thanks for what he's done for us by mirroring what he did for us. Life being spilled out as a sacrificial gift, that is what he did for us, particularly after his resignation. If you really look at it, at the point of his resignation, he became one with the self-giving of Christ. If you look at it, even in the elements that exist in that whole thing. And he also, in his book on the liturgy, to do such things is true worship. You're truly worshiping God when you act like Jesus Christ. Pope Benedict XVI mirrored Jesus Christ, particularly at the point of his resignation. What was the incarnation? The incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ was him leaving heaven and putting on flesh and coming here. We all want to get there. That's why we're here. We all want to get to heaven someday and to be there for all eternity and leave and come down here. Tremendous step down. When Benedict XVI resigned the papacy, what a step down. You're the Pope. You're the Pope. You have jurisdiction over the universal church. Everybody, even non-Catholics, if you're baptized Christian, you're under his authority, whether you act like it or not. That's neither here nor there. That's who he is. He has universal jurisdiction over the church, and he steps away from that. He steps away from it. So in his resignation, like Jesus left heaven, he left the papacy. That was the start. When Jesus hits here, his passion starts. Well, his passion, well, that came 33 years. No, it didn't. His passion started at his birth. His passion started at his conception in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's when his passion started. And then right after he's born, the circumcision, the flight into Egypt, all these things go on when he's young. So his passion is the whole time he's down there. So if our Lord is incarnate, takes a step down from heaven, and then his whole life here is a passion, Pope Benedict XVI's whole resignation can be looked at as a passion. You know, the last 10-ish years of his life, you think about the passion. There are a lot of aspects, a lot of sniping and all kinds of things like that. But can you imagine the encyclical that he is most known for, that I would submit to you has done more for the benefit of the church and God's people in growing them, bringing them closer to a relationship with Jesus Christ, with Summorum Pontificum. He published that, that was promulgated, and it did so many tremendous things for the church. The traditional orders and the traditional places where Mass is celebrated, they exploded, they grew. The only place in the church where everything started to solidify. This was his magnum opus. We're not talking about his the voluminous writings he made. But as a pope, it was something that he did that really, really changed things. And he got to see that pulled out from under him. And according to the Archbishop Gosvain, who was with him for decades, he said that that broke his heart. It broke his heart. Can you imagine being the Pope, promulgating something that was so good for so many people, then watch it pulled out from under you, suppressed passion. He lived the passion that was a martyrdom. He was sharing in the mysteries of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, oh, it'll get better. Nope, then he died. But now the good part, the reward. We look at him, and in his description of things, we see in his life, particularly when what we would look at is something negative or the bad part or the downside of his life was actually the most close he ever got to Jesus Christ in this world. This is something that you need to ponder, and not just for his life, but for your own. When things look like they couldn't get any worse, and then you die, that could be the best time. That could be when you're getting closest to Jesus Christ. Documents may have been pulled out from under him. Things he said may have been suppressed in some people's eyes, but his legacy lives on. And it will live on if we do what he taught us to do. He taught us to witness to the faith. He taught us to be obedient to the church, not to a particular ideology. I mean, a lot of people don't know this. Joseph Ratzinger, the bishop at the Second Vatican Council, he's like on the dark side, bad, real bad. What happened? He saw the practical spirit of, which there is no such thing, but he saw the spirit of, and he saw the problems. He saw disobedience to what the church had always taught. He saw disobedience to what the church had always practiced. And he called for obedience, not to individuals, not to fads. He called for obedience to the church. This is a quote. Only faith can surmount the existential tension to which the Christian is destined in his obedience to the church. Obedience as obedience takes on a new aspect. The obligation of bearing witness to battle against the Babylon move not only among the laity, but even higher up within the very core of the church's structure. Therefore, it is evident that even within the church, such bearing witness will now as ever prove painful, open as it is to misunderstanding, suspicion, and even condemnation. He knew what came when you were obedient. He knew what was going to happen if you stood firm for what the church teaches as opposed to modernist ideology. He knew it was going to be hard. He knew that those last three words, he knew that it was going to be misunderstood. He knew that our obedience is going to bring suspicion on those who will bear witness to what the church has always taught, and even condemnation. We see it in our day. But guess what? If you want his legacy, you want to honor this man, you want to honor the Holy Father, keep bearing witness and be obedient to the church. Be obedient to the church. Be obedient to the deposit of the faith. Be obedient to the moral theology of the church, the liturgical practice of the church. If you are obedient, you're bearing witness to not just the deposit of the faith in the apostolic church, you are bearing witness to this man, and his legacy will live on. This is what we desire at any funeral. This is because at any funeral, you know, this is not a eulogy of him. This is what the Holy Spirit did through this man. And it's easy to be elected pope and live out your pope life and do all the pope things and just die in good graces with everybody. He didn't do that. Like I said, the whole discussion as to why, you know, that's a different subject for a different day. And I would actually submit to you, you're never going to know until you get to the other side of the veil, as if you'll be interested in that over there. I'm sure he's not interested in that anymore. This is what we have to do to honor this man. He was, you know, bar none, one of the consummate theologians of the 20th century. Nobody could touch him in what he said. They could just complain about what he said. They could never contradict what he said, just complain about it. That shows you're right. If somebody just kicks and screams and hollers and yells or actually hits you for what you believe, it is because they can't confute what you say or confute what you believe. This is this man. And he was who he was because he was like Jesus. And that's what we're all called to be also. I will leave you with the words that he prayed at the end of St. John Paul II's funeral. Bless us, Holy Father. We entrust your dear soul to the Mother of God, your Mother, who guided you each day and who will guide you now to the eternal glory of her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.